Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphin fans, and thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Stephen Masso, on this Thursday, January 24th. In this episode, we're going to be going over a few key points, the first one being the Patriots game against the Kansas City Chiefs, because we have to look at how did Brian Flores do, or at least how do we think he helped the team. I want to talk a little bit about Damian Williams and his huge outing. I want to talk a little bit about the team's identity. Will the Dolphins have an offensive-minded team or a defensive-minded team moving forward? And I also want to discuss Albert Wilson. Of course, he was lost for this season, and he was having a tremendous season, so I want to discuss how I think he will have an impact on this team as we move forward into the 2019 season. So we start with the game between the Patriots and the Chiefs. Of course, the Patriots won. They will be heading to the Super Bowl. They beat the Chiefs by a score of 37-31. So you hear that initially, you must be thinking, okay, well, Brian Flores must not have done a good job guiding this defensive outing for the Patriots if he gave up 31 points and it was such a close game. Well, I don't think that's the case. Of course, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the powerhouse of the NFL. They are a super high-performing offensive team. You look at Patrick Mahomes, 50 touchdown passes. This guy was destroying teams all year. You look at Tyreek Hill, what he has done. Travis Kelce, this offense is loaded. But you have to take a look at the beginning of this game, because at first, the Chiefs had no answer for this Patriots defense, and that's something that must be discussed. The Patriots were throwing all types of these creative blitzes. They were running a lot of cover zeros, things that were, one, more creative, and two, more risky than anything I have seen the Dolphins do defensively. So again, I don't know if that was Belichick or if that was Flores, but if it was indeed Flores making those decisions, which, it, you know, more than likely he had some say in it, then I think there is a lot to be excited about from a defensive standpoint that will be coming to this Miami Dolphins team. The Dolphins had Gase before, who was supposed to be some offensive mastermind, but if Flores is doing these type of things creatively defensively, I think that will be very exciting to watch on the other side of the ball for the Dolphins in 2019. So the Chiefs were able to answer. They were able to put some points on the board, get a little something going, but of course they were just a dominant team. This was going to happen eventually. They were at home, but they had to get a little creative to do it. One thing that I think must be discussed is Tyreek Hill had a very limited role in this game. He is someone that could completely change the outcome of a game. He's a guy who's capable of putting up 150 plus yards and 3 touchdowns. In fact, that is what he did the first time these two teams faced off. But in this game, he was held to 43 yards. So that shows me that this Brian Flores Patriots defense was able to make an adjustment. Not only that, they were able to limit the biggest threats on this Kansas City offense. That is 1, Tyreek Hill, and 2, Travis Kelce, which is huge, especially with Hill, because he is such a big play threat. Miami, for years, something they have struggled with is stopping the big play. I know every week when Miami would face someone who has that deep threat capability, I'm thinking guys like Robbie Anderson, guys who run basically just a 9 route, guys like Darius Heyward-Bey, he would come out of nowhere, have his big day. Cordarrelle Patterson is another name that comes to mind. Taylor Gabriel, the wide receiver for the Bears, he had a huge outing against the Dolphins. It seems like these guys whose main weapon is just running a streak down the field always seem to have big games against the Dolphins. So the fact that this Patriots defense was able to limit Tyreek Hill is something that I think Dolphins fans should be optimistic about moving forward. The fact they were able to limit him, because I don't know about you, but I think if the Dolphins were to play the Kansas City Chiefs, Tyreek Hill would have absolutely gone off. So the fact that they were able to scheme against him, limit him and Kelce, shows me that this may be a new type of Dolphins defense that we see in the future, and that is something to be optimistic about. Now, one guy for the Chiefs who did have a really good outing now was Damian Williams, a former Dolphins running back. He finished the game with 3 touchdowns. He had a huge role. He is filling the role, of course, of Kareem Hunt, and it is pretty seamless. I don't want to say it is identical because, of course, Kareem Hunt was tremendous in his rookie year and for his bit that he played this season, but it looked nearly identical at times. It really shows how certain players could shine if they are just given the opportunity to do so. Now, I am not going to use this as an opportunity to bash the Dolphins and say, oh, they're dumb for letting go of Damian Williams. I do think, personally, they should have stuck with him. He was cheap. He was younger than Frank Gore. He was great on third downs. But, you know, enough of that. You know, it's over. It's done with. But what I will say, and how I will tie this back to the Dolphins, is that it further cements my position that there's no reason to pay a running back superstar money if there are other holes on the team. They could go and they could help another team. It is a luxury position, but if there are other holes, you can find someone who can do the job. Here are the Chiefs. They lost Kareem Hunt. Spencer Ware went down with an injury. In comes in Damian Williams, a third string running back. Him and Charcandrick West are splitting carries, and they look amazing. They look great. Every running back in Andy Reid's system does tremendous, and the same could be said about the Patriots. Any running back they plug in there are going to do great. So I think that is something that the Dolphins should strive for. Strive for an offense where you can plug in a running back and you don't need to have that superstar guy. You don't need to have that Gurley. You don't need that Zeke, because it only works if you have a Goff on a rookie contract or if you have a Dak on a rookie contract. But if you have other holes, and I'm talking defensively, I'm talking even at the quarterback, at receiver, there are plenty of holes on this Dolphins team. I don't think the running back position should be one where we devote a lot of money into, especially when there are other holes. I just think the running back position right now is one that could be filled with these guys that you find later on in the draft. And I think that's something that the Dolphins don't get enough props for, is finding talent at the running back position. You had Lamar Miller. He is now starting for the Houston Texans. He has had a pretty solid career. You look at Jay Ajayi. He went on to win a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. You could even look at Mike Gillisley, who had a pretty solid season in Buffalo, enough that he was supposed to be the starter for the New England Patriots. And he did pretty good at the beginning of the season before being put in Belichick's doghouse. But I think that Dolphins have a talent for finding running backs. They got Kenyon Drake, and I am very confident in Kalen Ballage. So I just think they kind of need to keep playing this kind of musical chairs with running backs until they find when the team is going to be peaking. When the team is peaking, then you can dump your money in a running back. But if the team's not there yet, then I just think there's no point in doing so, especially if there's no offensive line to work with, if there's no quarterback that's going to balance it. I don't think it's going to be that necessary. Now that we're on this discussion of running backs, I do want to discuss, what do you think the Dolphins' identity will be in 2019 and moving forward under Brian Flores? This is something that I am asking genuinely. I just want to know what you guys' opinion is. What do you think the Dolphins' identity will be, or what do you think it should be? I think naturally what comes to everyone's mind is, okay, we have a defensive minded head coach. He was a linebackers coach. He was calling the plays. Of course, the easy thing to say is that he's going to run a defensive kind of team. And that is great. I would be totally on board for that. But I don't think that means that you should automatically rule out the possibility of this being an offensive team as well. Of course, Belichick was a defensive mastermind. But when I think of the Patriots, I think of their seamless, their offensive system they have with Brady, the fact they can plug in any running back, the fact that their tight ends are always successful. That is what comes to my mind when I think of the Patriots, and not necessarily their defense. So I wouldn't rule out the possibility that this could be an offensive team. And Jim Caldwell is said to be expected to take on a role kind of as an offensive assistant, kind of almost a head coach assistant. And he is a guy with the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford was slinging the ball nearly 600 times a season. 600. He was in the 590s, 600 every year under Jim Caldwell. He was throwing to Calvin Johnson. Golden Tate was racking up catches. Theo Riddick, this hybrid between a running back and a receiver, basically was getting a ton of catches under Jim Caldwell. So there may be the possibility that that could be the team's identity as well. This could be a team that throws the ball around a lot. We just have to wait and see who the quarterback is. If the Dolphins bring in more talent at the receiver position, I would not rule out that the Dolphins could be an offensive team, despite the fact that the head coach appears to be a defensive-minded coach. Now, the last thing I have to discuss is Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson is said to be on track to participate in the Dolphins offseason training program, which will be in April. Of course, Albert Wilson suffered a season-ending injury, and it was a very significant hip injury. This was one that was being compared similarly to the injury that ended Bo Jackson's career. What I heard was that there was a possibility that it was a labral tear. That is what Pro Football Doc on Twitter, at Pro Football Doc, that was what he suspected via the video of his injury, which is a very significant injury, one that typically requires surgery. Well, Albert Wilson did not have to have surgery, which is, of course, great to hear. That is incredible, the fact that he was able to deal with it. There are videos of him on Instagram where he is working out. He is really starting from the bottom. He is doing squats already. No weight on the bar, of course, but he is really starting to get back into it, which is just amazing to hear, because that looked like a very, very significant injury. But I want to say that Albert Wilson, I think, is the biggest threat right now on this Dolphins offense. And I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying that, because Kenyon Drake, of course, has flashes of being truly amazing. But I really am amazed what I saw in Albert Wilson. A lot of people said that Danny Amendola was going to be the number three receiver. And I said all offseason, I was saying, just wait till Albert Wilson gets the ball. This guy is way more dynamic. Just put the ball in his hands. He could be amazing. I do think Albert Wilson has this tremendous potential, and it would be biased of me to say that he could be on the same level right now of guys like Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not going to say that, but what I will say is that I do think that he has the potential to reach the same level of play of guys like Doug Baldwin, guys like Golden Tate, who I discussed had success with the Lions. He could very well become the next Emmanuel Sanders, maybe even T.Y. Hilton. I really think he is just that good when the ball is in his hands. He has tremendous potential. And the thing that worries me is that he is now leaving an offense that was kind of tailored to him. Gase fed off Jarvis Landry for years. Albert Wilson took over that role, that Jarvis Landry role. It was his. He had basically taken over. He was going to feast this season in that position. It's a shame he was lost, and I am hopeful that the team keeps him as a focal point, because I don't think there's any denying what he brings to the table. He is a tremendous asset. So that's another question I will ask for you guys. Who do you think is the Dolphins' biggest threat on offense? Let me know what you guys think in the comments. I would love to hear what you say. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow my podcast, that is at Via the Source. And guys, I really do appreciate all the follows I've been getting, all the comments, and I love hearing from you guys. It's really awesome to hear the feedback and that you guys are enjoying the podcast. It's awesome, and thank you guys again. You can always get more info at dolphinstalk.com. that is where you can stay updated on all the news about the Miami Dolphins. And remember to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And that's it from me, guys. I hope you guys have a tremendous day, and this was your dolphinstalk.com Daily Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.